It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. Yes, that's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. This is your daily sports dump. At least as of now, daily sports dump. I mean, whew, how much longer can we do daily when there's no sports? Luckily, it's a sports dump, so there's always sports garbage. But anyway, it's daily. It's March 30th. It's Monday. So we should have a lot of stuff from the weekend of sports. But of course, it was a weekend of not sports. But that's not going to stop us from providing you with a fake weekend highlight. That's right, folks. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the games that would have happened this weekend and give you a highlight that seems relatively plausible. So for today's highlight, we go to the Yankees-Orioles series, which I always mispronounce that team name. Sorry about that. Where in our fantasy land of imaginary highlights, the Yankees finished off a three-game sweep against the Orioles with a 15-0 victory. Now, here's some of the highlights of the series and the victory itself. Clint Frazier, of course, filling in for all the injured Yankees outfielders who would be injured and not playing even if we were playing. Well, good old Clint Frazier hit 6 home runs in the series, 2 each game, and was immediately sent down to the minor leagues for not running out a foul ball that went into the stands. So that's what would have happened to good old Clint Frazier. And in another amazing statistic, Garrett Cole. My God. In the highlight, Garrett Cole won his second game of the series when he decided to do his off-day throwing on the mound. And because the Orioles cooperated, he ended up only throwing 42 pitches in 6 innings. And then with the Orioles down 15-0, they invoked the mercy rule, this year's new mercy rule, and the game only went 7 innings. Now, it wasn't until several hours after the game that Major League Baseball realized there is no mercy rule, and the Orioles just didn't want to play the rest of the game and made it up. So that's today's kind of plausible fake sports highlight from the weekend. I hope you enjoyed that. And there is a greater than 0% chance that something like that could have actually happened this week. Now, speaking of baseball, this is Monday, of course, and Mondays are supposed to be Mondays with Mike, right? So Mike is one of the very few people, well, maybe a lot of people have actually a lot more work right now. So good for my brother, bad for the segment. However, we do not need my brother for the segment, because he has sent me all of his weird Excel spreadsheets. Now, if you don't know, Mondays with Mike is a segment where I'm supposed to talk to my brother about these Excel spreadsheets he does to relax himself. Now, these spreadsheets almost all have to do with baseball, although he told me he has some basketball ones, and they're very random. Like, he had a list of the best trades the Yankees did with every other team. And he had a case against Miguel Cabrera for some reason. I don't know if it was as a person or statistically. But the one we're going to do today is I just kind of uncovered this. He sent me 42 Excel spreadsheets. And today I opened the one that said baseball numbers. And what it is a list of the greatest players who wore each number. Now, I'm not going to go through all the numbers. I'll just give you some of the highlights today. Now, in my determination, the greatest number, it's tough. But I'm going to go with number 5, because you got Joe DiMaggio, George Brett, Albert Pujols, Johnny Bench, Jeff Bagwell, Brooks Robinson, and Hank Greenberg. Those are all, like, if not the top of the pyramid, the second tier of the pyramid. You got 2 of the greatest third basemen ever. You've got maybe the greatest catcher ever. And, you know, Joe DiMaggio, Pujols, one of the greatest hitters. There's a lot of talent there. Of course, numbers 3 and 4, just by having Ruth, Fox, Gehrig, Hornsby, Ott, A-Rod. Three, I did that badly with the numbers, but number three is Ruth, Fox, and A-Rod. Those are three great players, and there's some other good ones there too. Four is Gehrig, Hornsby, and Ott. Three top-line players. But I'm still going with number five as the greatest number of all time. Now, as you would guess, a lot of the lower numbers have a lot of good players and Hall of Famers. Number nine only has one real guy, Ted Williams. Reggie Jackson, you know, he wore it briefly, but he's better known for a different number we'll get to in a second. But Williams, the only one with number nine, and the number 13, an unlucky number because only A-Rod wore number 13. And if you'll remember, A-Rod was suspended for a year under that number. So I wouldn't call that lucky exactly. All right. And then most of the numbers have at least a couple of good players until you get to the number 39. No real good players worn 39. So if you got a kid who looks like he's going to be good, maybe he could wear that number. And then there's some marginal players like, you know, Keith Hernandez at 37. Does he really deserve to have his name on this list? Probably not. But I wanted to talk about a couple of other interesting uniform numbers, if you will, if you even think uniform numbers are interesting, because you may not, and then, well, we're already boring you, but we're halfway down this rabbit hole anyway. Let's keep it going. Some numbers I thought were pretty cool was number 24, and listen to number 24. This may be the greatest number of all time. Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, who also wore 25, but Barry Bonds before the steroids, Ricky Henderson, Ken Griffey Jr., Manny Ramirez, and Early Wynn, who's, you know, an old pitcher from way back. But that's some, except for Ramirez, those are like some of the best all-around players, five-tool players. Henderson didn't have a great arm, but that's a pretty formidable number, 24 there. It's like the 23 in baseball. Another number I found pretty interesting was 44. We're talking baseball sluggers right here. You only got two of them. No, you got three of them. Hank Aaron, Willie McCovey, and Reggie Jackson. I mean, those are three of the maybe greatest cleanup hitter types ever. So that number's pretty good. 44, 24. And then if you're looking for pitchers, I got two numbers for you off my brother's list. If you want a lefty, you want somebody wearing number 32. Now, obviously, Sandy Koufax wore that. But you know who else did? Probably because Sandy Koufax wore it. Steve Carlton. That's right. And then Roy Halladay wore 34 on the Phillies, I think, because Carlton's was retired. But I think he wore 32 on the Blue Jays. But he's a righty. But if you want a lefty, those are two of the greatest lefties of all time wearing that number. And then if you want a righty, well, you just got to go all the way up to number 45. And you got Bob Gibson and Pedro Martinez. So if you just had those four pitchers, well, that'd be the greatest staff of all time right there. So those were the numbers that I thought were interesting today. Boy, was that segment interesting? Well, you'll have to tell me if you're even still listening. Now, if Mike was here, he'd be able to explain the idiosyncrasies of all this list making and what was the stress he was under when he made that particular list. Did he have to get a wisdom tooth out or something? Since he's not here, I'll share a wisdom tooth story. I had to pick him up after he got his wisdom tooth out, and he was still real groggy. And as I was taking him out of the office, he's covered in his own blood. And he walks by the dental hygienist, and he was like, "She's a nice lady." And he didn't realize, you know, he thought he was being nice and smiling at her. And he didn't realize he was covered in his own blood. Well, that was funny for me, if nothing else. All right, so the next segment that I have for you folks today is to mention that we have a contest. That's right. It's our irrelevant contest, and what it is you have to follow us on Twitter, or maybe just tweet at us. I guess you don't even have to follow us to do that, with your guess of who the last pick in the NFL draft will be. Okay, Mr. Irrelevant, I think it's pick number 266, maybe. That's off the top of my head. So that's what we want our listener or listeners to do, is get onto Twitter, and if you don't have Twitter, whew, thank God. If you don't have Twitter, then you don't have to do this contest, and you're better than I am. But if you do have Twitter, the penalty for having Twitter is that you need to give us your guess for Mr. Irrelevant in this year's NFL draft. And the winner, And it's not whoever gets closest, although maybe we'll go back to that if you get a guy who gets drafted near there, if we have a tiebreaker or something, which we probably will because no one will guess it. We will send you a whole crap ton, every single bit of sports dump paraphernalia we have. And I don't mean illegal paraphernalia, okay? I mean like wristbands, headbands, stickers. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a pen. We'll see what else we have. But those things will be sent to the winner. And we will dedicate an entire episode to that winner. All right. More on that later. But for now, it is our mock draft update. Now, we don't have an update on any specific mock draft, except to say that as of yesterday, there's so little going on in sports that the front page of ESPN.com was entirely dedicated to Mel Kiper's mock draft from 6 days earlier. 6 days passed, and the mock draft news stayed on the front page. Now, today, there's a few other items up there. And sometimes we have jokes, folks, but there's so little going on. Both Quincy and I went onto our joke page. I could see he did it, and I did it also. And we both wrote like three letters of a word and then gave up. So, since we each did that, I think that's a fair indication that no one deserves jokes, because even if we had written them, they clearly would have been bad. But finally, ESPN has changed their front page from the mock draft. Oh, God, I'm getting news about resending a file because my friend screwed up. Pardon that interruption, folks. Oh, I might get sued for saying that. But that was a friend of mine. I had to record our Nebraska podcast last night by myself because of this coronavirus thing. The Nebraska podcast I do with a couple other guys, we're not able to get together, so I did one by myself last night, and he keeps interrupting me because the file he asked me to send him, he cannot download for some reason. I think he's screwed up somehow, and he thinks I screwed up somehow, and we'll find out. But that's an excellent time to mention that podcast, which is called the Big Red Cobcast, is going to every other week now, which means on the weeks that that podcast isn't happening, I will probably make some mention of the Nebraska Cornhuskers football team for the people who are out there desiring that type of content. And I'll proceed it so that maybe you know to fast forward if you're not, but I might just turn you into a Cornhusker fan. I don't know why that would happen, but let's see. Let's listen and find out what happens. So that was the mock draft update that somehow morphed into a plug for my Cornhusker podcast. And just one more thing along those lines. I think in the recruiting world of college football, they should rename this time when people can't contact each other. They should rename it something other than the dead period. Maybe just this one time for right now. That's just a thought off the top of my head about that. Now, another observation I wanted to make for you folks is that we are entering the age of classic games. There are no live games to watch, so it's going to be just classic games. In fact, I watched, and I hate the Patriots, but I watched a 28-3 comeback. Now, one thing classic games could do, maybe they need to use up all the time, so they play the whole classic game, but I didn't need to see anything but the scores in the first half. Show me five plays in the first half, the turnovers, the scores, and that's it, and then let's get to the comeback. Showing me the whole game, that's stretching it out more than I need. But I said this before, people are going to become very familiar with the history of the game because of all these classic games. Well, it's already happening. All the networks are starting to fill their programming, and we're going to just see how classic these games are. And I might add, since I'm always trying to get people to watch soccer, this might be a good time to look at some classic soccer matches because this is a good way to judge it. If you don't like some of the best matches ever in the history of top-level soccer, all right, maybe it's not for you. But I defy you to watch a full El Clasico between Real Madrid and Barcelona when both teams are at their top and it's going back and forth and not enjoying that. That's my challenge to you, the listeners. So we are in the age of classic games. Take advantage of that. If there's a game you haven't seen, see it. And some games we're going to find out don't really hold up as well. They weren't as classic. Watch the Cubs win Game 7 of the World Series, and that was just a reminder of how hard their manager tried to lose that game. So if you're a Cub fan and you watched it, yeah, you're very happy about that. But if you're a baseball fan and you watched it, you're going, man, Madden really almost blew that World Series. And I remembered thinking that at the time, and watching it again reconfirmed it. So you can also reconfirm all your biases. That's another thing to do. Tom Brady, whiny guy. I reconfirmed that by watching him. So maybe in between watching the Tiger guy, what's his name, the Tiger King, you can watch some of these classic sports things. And I am watching the Tiger King with my wife, and last night she said, you know, I think I'm going to need a break from the Tiger King tonight. And what she really meant was she needed a break from me. And she wasn't calling me the Tiger King, at least not in like a good way, but I may have been as annoying to her as the Tiger King was at that time. So maybe that'll be the new, like, I need a break thing. Like, I need a break from the Tiger King, because I'd be cool with that name if it wasn't involving animal abuse. All right, we did our Mondays with Mike. We did our classic games, folks. We did our mock draft update. We mentioned the Mr. Irrelevant contest. We gave you a fake weekend highlight. I'm just going through the list. I actually wrote a list. Now, I thought maybe I would be... Tomorrow is my birthday, folks, okay? And I may take the day off. I don't know what I'm going to do. But if there's no episode, that's why. Now, what you could do as a birthday present is you could rate and review, perhaps, or get a friend of yours to listen, or enter the contest. Just some kind of interaction would be great. I don't need a happy birthday. I don't even need our Patreon page, which is a year old as of yesterday, and still no patrons. Again, for a $1 one-time pledge, you'll get a free bumper sticker sent to your address. A bumper sticker so small, it defeats the purpose of being a bumper sticker. We will also dedicate a full episode to you, whatever your favorite teams are, that kind of stuff. And then hopefully, eventually, I'll do that for everybody who bids a dollar, and then it'll get so annoying that I'll stop doing that. Speaking of stopping, if you don't know, the Sports Dump, and I know I'm all over the place here, folks, but now we're just in kind of riff territory, but I'm mentioning catching some folks up. We're trying to get listeners from all 50 states, and if we get a listener from all 50 states, we may stop at that point, because what more is there to achieve? But what I haven't mentioned is some of our overseas or across-the-border listeners. We had a good Ontario presence, and I hope that they're still out there, because I haven't mentioned or thanked them, but we had quite a few Ontario listeners at one point, so I'm wondering if Toronto perhaps is listening in. And if you are, thank you for your listening. Also, we've got some Australian listeners, thanks to my friend Andrew Menzel, who stole Ike Barinholtz from me for his podcast and had us on the other day. So if you're down under, thank you as well. And then we had some Swiss listeners, and I'm not sure if they were real or if someone's using like a going through a VPN or whatever that is. But if you are Swiss and you're listening, God bless you as well. And everyone be safe wherever you are. All right, that's about it. Thanks for listening, folks. Since I'm wavering, that means I have to come back. Well, tomorrow I gave myself permission, but if I'm not back tomorrow, I'll be back the next day with your daily Sports Dump. You can follow us, and maybe we'll be doing some more live stuff. I actually already lined up Mike O'Brien from SNL and other things to do a Twitter Live, but we may do an Instagram Live because he has a lot of Instagram followers doing his fashion, following his fashionista stuff. So that'll be coming up in the future. When I know when, I'll let you know. Also, you can follow us at Sports Dump Show on Twitter, the_sports_dump on Instagram. Go to sportsdump.com, where we've got some fake brackets about crooked football programs up. And we've got a Tom Brady article up and some videos up. And if you don't know, the month of April is coming up. And for the first time since the term 420 has meant anything, we're going to have an entire month of 420. Now, I run another podcast. I live here in California, where weed is medicine. And so my other podcast is called At the Doobies with Spliffkel and Eburnt. And for the entire month of April, every day we're going to be giving you stoner tips, 420 tips. There will be 420 tips during the month. That's 14 a day for 30 days. So if you want to get a real load up of tips for 420 stoners, or just stoners, or just 420s, listen in April. All right. I think that's it for you and me. And that's good, because we're done.